Welcome to the Compass Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Avengers or superhero fans in the room? I was just thinking of Wolverine, and as we were singing Oh Silent Night, I'm sure you can see the connection. Now, what I was thinking was, like, you know, we have these superheroes that obviously are a figment of somebody's imagination, and I appreciate their imagination, but, you know, we can idolize these guys. But what we do is, when the difference, I think, for us, when we sing a song like this, it's not just singing a song about a superhero or figment of somebody's imagination. We're actually singing about a person, the person of Jesus Christ, who was very much real. I mean, we can't debate that he actually came and lived and walked on the planet, so that's a fact. But yet, I guess as a personal believer in Jesus Christ, when I sing these songs, it's not just about somebody off in a distance or some kind of historical figure that is just, you know, is just nice to think about and did some good things. He's actually a real person we can have a relationship with today. And so there's a great sense of meaning. And I love some of these carols. I know they annoy a lot of people, but I love some of these carols because the words are so powerful and meaningful. And I guess even theologically, you know, they're just really, really brilliant and beautiful in that sense. And, you know, we think of this time, the shepherds, when they were approached by the angel and overwhelmed with, you know, probably fear initially. But, you know, I just love what the angel said to the shepherds after Christ was born. He said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And so this morning, you know, if you don't know, there is actually good news for your life. There's good news for all the people. So that means all. So that's everybody in this room. There is good news for you and for your life, for your family, for your business, relationships, sports, hobbies, health. Every area of your life, there is good news for you. And that's one of the things we celebrate here today, is the difference that Jesus Christ can make in every area of our life. And, you know, I think it's quite amazing that, you know, sometimes things happen and we don't know why they happen. And sometimes, like, you know, we ask ourselves that question, why did it actually happen that way? And we can certainly be thinking to ourselves, you know, God, do you really know what you're doing? And yet hundreds of years before Christ was born, these were some of the things that were written, you know, 400 to 600 years before Jesus was born. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will be called Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. And that's what we celebrate today, is Jesus Christ's arrival, that God came to be with mankind in a way like never before. In Micah 5 verse 2, it says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah," now we've got to realize, who knows that you don't choose where you're born? You don't choose. And we're blessed that we're born in this country and not other countries around the world, but we're very privileged and blessed. And you know, this is, like, we think is a random series of events, but God predicted this through his word, that Bethlehem Ephrathah, sorry, I can't even speak, "though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." I mean, this is hundreds of years before, predicting exactly where Jesus Christ was going to be born. Who thinks that's amazing? The probability of that is just ridiculous. And the last one that I'll refer to, Isaiah 9, 6-7, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Again, predicting that a child will be given that is going to reign and rule in a way like never before. And Jesus Christ certainly defied all the odds. He defied all the predictions of how a ruler and a savior would come. And yet these things are written about Jesus Christ some 400 years before he arrived. And so that's pretty amazing. And so we're here to celebrate the fulfillment of those prophecies about Christ, which is over 300. And we're here to celebrate the fact that he came and changed history like never before. I've just been reflecting this week over the narrative of the arrival of Christ, and in part reflecting on all the predictions and prophecies that were surrounding Jesus coming, which I referred to earlier, and then just going over the story once again. And if you haven't done that between now and Wednesday, I encourage you to maybe venture through some of those passages just to refresh your mind of the story. And And this morning, I'm just going to touch on an element of it because there is just so many things that we can draw out of it. But obviously we know that for some 400 years, there's this silence and this awaiting of God to speak again as he had done in the Old Testament days through the prophets and through circumstance. And then we see this announcement and God starting to move and speak in a way like never before, where the angel appears to Mary and says to Mary, he says, the angel of the Lord appeared saying, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And so obviously there was something very special about Mary, that she was selected and chosen at around 16 years of age to bear Christ and to be the mother of Christ. I mean, just some things about her that we could, that in and of itself is a massive topic. But, you know, she's somebody that's highly favored and chosen by God to do a very special task, and the privilege that came with that. And of course, she's engaged to Joseph, and a very complicated situation arises. You know, that here she is, she's being told that she's going to be with child, and the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her, and she was going to be the carrier of the Savior of the world, just no small task whatsoever. And Joseph engaged, you know, he also has an angelic presentation, as we saw so beautifully done with the kids on the video. His mind is put at ease that this is all part of God's plan and purpose. I mean, I don't know what was going through Mary's mind when she said yes. I mean, maybe she thought to herself, "God, do you know what you're doing? What is going? Why is this happening to me? How could this possibly? This can't be real. And surely this isn't really happening." And then for Joseph to find out, and all the questions surrounding the circumstance of her being pregnant, but it was God, and, you know, all of those things. But yet, you know, Joseph thinking to himself, "Hang on, God, do you know what you're doing? Why is this happening to me?" Anyone ever asked that question? Why is this? Why is it happening? Why is this going on? And I think right from the beginning of this story, we can see that both for Mary and Joseph, I'm sure they were confronted with some of those feelings, you know, despite having an angelic manifestation before them. And then we know that they had to, due to the census that was put out by Caesar Augustus of the time, wanting to do that census, and every household had to go to their town of origin. And so Joseph and his family line from Bethlehem, they had to travel to Bethlehem, therefore to fulfill that prophecy that I referred to earlier. And little did they know that they were in the process of fulfilling Scripture in that way. But you could imagine, like, I was just looking it up this morning and just checking out what the traffic was like between Nazareth and Bethlehem. And it's 163.1 kilometres approximately. And that's if you go along the Yitzhak-Rabin Highway. And in current traffic at 7:38 a.m. this morning, it would take you an hour and 56 minutes if you were to take that particular highway from Nazareth, where they were, all the way to Bethlehem. And, you know, like, I just think that it wasn't quite like that. They did not have that highway. Now, they had a donkey and they had no highways. And I know we've had a couple of ladies that have had babies this year, and I'm not sure how you would go if your husband said to you, "We've got to go 163 kilometres and you're travelling by donkey." And, you know, I don't necessarily think it'd be that comfortable. Now, I looked up the average speed of a donkey as well, because I was just curious. A horse can average in full flight 40 to 48 kilometres an hour, if not, you know, that's not a full-bred racehorse, but on average. And a donkey can run somewhere between 32 to 40 kilometres an hour. But it's all dependent. The domestic donkeys will vary according to their size, fitness and motivation. So I'm not sure how fit or motivated Mary's donkey was. And I don't think it was running full pelt the whole way. Has anyone ever ridden a horse bareback? Any guy in the room ever ridden a horse bareback? I made that mistake once on a beach in Fiji. And I've got to say, it was very entertaining for all of the guys from the village close by when the horse took off. But it was not pleasant. But I can only imagine, you know, if the horse is plodding comfortably for Mary to be as comfortable as possible at 5 to 6 kilometres an hour, we're talking, you know, sort of 27 plus hours just plodding along. So several days of travel, if you like, for them to get to it. Now, you know, I know that if it was my wife, and we got to Bethlehem, and we're there, we're waiting, and that is, you know, 9 months, very much pregnant. Mary, who knows, was maybe having contractions as she was getting close, or in the time they get there. And, you know, kind of, there's no whatifbethlehem.com There's no lastminutebooking.com, Bethlehem. You know, there's no TripAdvisor to find out where we should go and photos of whether we should stay in this inn or not. But, you know, I know for a fact that if we got somewhere and Nat was 9 months pregnant and having contractions and I had not booked accommodation or a hospital, it wouldn't be good. That's all I'm saying. So I don't know how things were going there for Joseph, but, you know, I just think, you know, Mary's signed up for this baby deal, Joseph's on board, and they've got a sense that God's in it, and they get to Bethlehem and they're thinking to themselves, really, God, do you really know what you're doing? God, you're God. You've created everything, and we've heard the stories through, you know, the oral tradition. We've heard all the stories of God, what you've done and what you've done for the children of Israel and everything like that, and you've parted seas and you've created this and you've helped our people get victories and conquests and all this sort of stuff. And here we are. You've given us this challenge, and we're in a town, and there's nowhere for us to stay because there's no room in the inns. I mean, how desperate do you have to be to eventually actually accept the offer of going into an animal stable? And it's not the nice, comfortable pictures that we see on the front of the Christmas cards that we get, that it's all nice and pleasant and the little halo around Jesus' head and no crying he makes. I mean, that's rubbish. But, like, you know, we just see, you know, these pictures just don't paint the real story of what a stable, if not a cave, horn out of the side of the cliff would have been where Jesus was actually born. And I don't know about you, but I'm thinking that maybe Mary was saying those questions again. Why me? Surely, that God, do you know what you're doing? I don't know if you've ever kind of been in that situation where you just kind of like stuff's just been going and happening and you just go, why me? How can it's not meant to be like this. God, do you know what you're doing? Have you ever heard anyone just say, oh, you know, do you know what's going on? Oh, God knows. Everyone ever heard anyone say that? Like, just in frustration and exasperation, you kind of like when you just, oh, God knows. You know, and the good thing this morning is that he does. Let's fast track to 1938. A kid is born to a mum and the husband was actually shipped off to war. It wasn't the husband, it was the boyfriend. So she slept with this man, she has a little baby boy, and he's gone off to war, and apparently the report comes back that he's dead. And so it's just the single mum and her little boy trying to get through the war, and the war ends, and he's got this little boy and doesn't think that the father's coming back. And so she marries a guy, and he ends up being an alcoholic. And so the little boy at 8 years of age is told that he's got to go and work in the coal mine so that he can earn money so that the stepfather can actually drink. And he would beat, and he was just not a pleasant man at all. So the mother says, I can't have this for my child. So she gives that child to the grandparents to look after. Not long after, sadly, the grandfather dies. And because the grandmother is elderly, she can't keep up with just a typical active little boy that is just an average little boy. She doesn't have the energy to be able to keep up with him. So in discussion with the boy's mother, they come to the conclusion that the only choice they've got for this little boy is to put him in an orphanage. At the age of 8 or 9, he remembers standing on the steps of the orphanage, and he's there with the nuns holding him back with tears streaming down his face, screaming out, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? Why am I here? Why do I have to stay in the... Why can't I come with you, Grandma? Mum, why can't I come home with you? As he's screaming that out. And he's thinking to himself, why me? At 8 or 9, he's going, why me? Why is this happening to me? Has anyone ever had that kind of... So this kid is in the orphanage, and not a lot, but occasionally the mum and grandmother would come to visit him, and he's just wondering. At the age of 12, this kid is shipped post-war as a war orphan to Australia. Doesn't know anyone. He's brought to an orphanage in Cheltenham, and that's where he just has to start to grow up and be raised. The same age as some of the kids that we saw on stage this morning, or some of the kids that are around at the age of 12. A little Pommy kid in amongst the Australian culture, and he's put out on farms. Could you imagine what the other Aussie kids did and said to a kid that's just thrown in? Could you imagine him there just going, why me? Why does this have to happen to me? And this kid grows up and goes through life and becomes a farmer, a shearer, and eventually goes to a massive meeting that's at the MCG with an evangelist called Billy Graham. Arguably one of the world's greatest evangelism in the modern era. And it's in that that he gets to hear a story about what we're talking about today, the arrival of Jesus Christ to the planet and God's love, that God would give his one and only son so that none should perish, that no one ever has to be alone, that there is a heavenly Father that loves you unconditionally, that will never leave you, that will never forsake you, that will always be with you. And something inside this guy around the age of 30 resonates so much with what he'd heard that he felt a drawing that he had to respond to the message that this evangelist was giving on that day. And so he commits his life to Christ and starts a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and begins to realize his life is beginning to be transformed and his world begins to change for the better like never before. And yet in the back of his mind, he's just going, why me? Why did this have to happen? And then suddenly out of his relationship with God, he began to realize he had a plan. There was a purpose for his life, that he wasn't an accident. He wasn't a mistake, that God had specific things that only he could fulfill on this planet. One of those things was to marry a lady named Eleanor Ziesch and took on his name. And they had 6 kids. And the youngest of whom is standing before you today. That's my dad's story. You might just go, so it all started in 1938. All of that happened today. And if you're visiting with us today, can I even propose to you that all of that has happened so that you could get to actually hear about a God that loves you, cares about you? Why me? Why did this have to happen? Why did he have to go through all of that? It's so that I could be standing in front of you today to tell you about the possibility of a life-changing relationship with the creator of the universe. And maybe you've got your own questions of why me, how could this happen? And we can hear that reverberating and resonating in Mary and Joseph in this story. But we know that Jesus didn't stay a baby, did he? So let's find out some of the things of what Jesus did.
Mary, my betrothed, you have the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen. And the sweetest smile.
Don't be afraid.
I'm the Lord's servant.
Help us! Please!
Lady, I believe your son is the promised king of his people. What is his name?
His name is Jesus.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day
my son.
Mary, did you know
Great song, CeeLo Green. Mary, did you know? We're here to just remember God's incredible gift of love to us. And I want to just say this morning, no matter what you're going through or what you've been through, that there is a God who loves you, he understands, and wants to be with you. I think when you come into a relationship with the creator of the universe and have a personal relationship with him through Jesus Christ, he doesn't erase our humanity, but what he does do is commit to be with us, walk with us. And I think one of the things I love, many things I love about having a relationship with God, is that he can take our mess, our pain, he can turn it into a message where we can actually make a difference through the plan and the purpose that he has for our life. And so this morning, there are some things that resemble gifts over there on that table. And one of the thoughts I'd love to leave you with is that without Jesus Christ, there would be no grace. And the greatest gift that I could ever offer you is the grace gift that God offers all mankind. And that is the gift of his son, Jesus Christ, that he died in our place, that he took the punishment that we deserved. And so that we can live in a relationship with a holy, pure, righteous God. And so this morning, the gift that I offer you is grace, which is unmerited favor and kindness from God that we don't deserve. And that's the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. And that's something worth celebrating, something worth holding dear to, and it's so precious and beautiful and life-changing and wonderful, because it's in that relationship with him we begin to discover and find out why we're actually being put on this green and blue ball we call earth. And you can begin to understand maybe some of the pain and some of the joys that we've had, the meaning and purpose for it all, which is a pretty cool way to live. And so this morning, I don't know where you're at, but you know, if there's any questions out of anything that maybe you've heard or seen, or maybe you're just on your own journey, and would love to chat with you after this service if you've got any questions. And as we said, you know, if you've got questions, and we invite you back next year to come on the journey with us. And I don't have all the answers, God does, but maybe together we can go on a journey of you discovering and coming into that life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. So we're going to get the kids back in. So if somebody hasn't already, if somebody can just go and grab those kids. Thanks, Troy. So they can enjoy the last few songs that we've got. And I'm going to invite the team back up just to come. And just as they're coming and as the kids are coming back, I'm just going to pray and just ask that God would truly bless you at this time over Christmas. Father, this morning I just thank you that we can come together like this. We can stop in the craziness and the busyness of just life at the moment. And Father, I just thank you that we can be reminded of your great love for us. Your word says, for you so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son, not to come into the world to condemn, but to love. And to draw us and lead us to yourself, back into relationship that you've desired from the very beginning of creation. So, Father, I don't know every person in this room, but you do. Father, I don't know, Lord, just what position in life they may be in, whether things have been great and that's fantastic and you want to continue to walk with them and bless them. For those that may be struggling and have pain in their life, I may not understand that pain, but Lord God, I know you do. That if anyone can ever relate to our circumstance, our pain, our isolation, our separation, our rejection, our hurt, Lord Jesus, what you endured and went through, you understand. And so I just thank you for each person in this room. I pray you bless them over this Christmas season. I pray, Father, that you would make yourself known and even more real in our world. And that, Father God, I pray your blessing. Lord, especially those in this room that, you know, myself and my own family included, approaching Christmas with that sense of loss. Lord God, that people in the room that maybe have lost a loved one this year or in the recent years, that it's still quite raw and sensitive. Lord God, we know that nothing can replace that person. But Lord, we just ask that your grace and love would just really embrace those that in this room that maybe this time of year isn't really something to celebrate. I thank you that you will do that. I thank you can do that if we let you. So we invite you to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.